The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Alvin?
Yes, sir.
Is this what I think it is?
I think it is.
What is it? What
oh,
is this?
Boy. It's Ask Metaxas.
Wait a minute.
Yeah,
I'm Metaxas.
That's you.
That means you're going to ask me questions?
I will do that, sir.
How do we get these questions?
They come in. Your lovely daughter collects them, and then she gives them to us, and then you answer them. And this is the first one of the new month, so we're excited.
It has a theme, doesn't it?
It does. Now, this month is the publication of your new book, Is Atheism Dead? So the questions are all around that.
Okay, so these
book.
Are thematic questions for Ask Metaxas.
Yes.
And we're going to start now. Go.
Go, go. Okay. Why do atheists try to convert people to atheism?
Aha! That's a great question.
Yeah.
Okay, I deal with all this stuff in the book because we know that. I mean, I think one of the central theses of the book is that atheism is intellectually confused. If you are a genuine atheist, if you actually – we're not saying you believe, oh, I hate Christians or I don't know if God exists. But you say, I know that God doesn't exist. If you state that and you say you're an atheist, it follows logically – without any question, it follows logically that there's no meaning in the universe. Everything is random, accidental. There's no good or evil. These things follow logically. There's no way around it. But typically, atheists live in what Sartre, who was an atheist until the end of his life, which I talk about in the book, he called it bad faith. It sounds better in French. But it's like mal foi. I can't say it. Forgive me. But bad faith means that you're living with two things in your mind, and the two don't – they disagree with each other. So the idea of an atheist saying, I believe in atheism, that there's no God, da, 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 but I'm going to try to convince you of it, makes no sense.
Yeah.
Because what does anything matter if there is no God? If there is no God and we are utterly random, the idea that you would benevolently try to lead somebody to the truth, I would simply say to you, where do you get that idea that you should care? That there is such a thing as truth. Anyway, I go into it in the book, but I just want to say another reason I think atheists try to convert people to atheism is why most people try to convert people to their way of thinking. It makes them feel better about themselves. Usually it's an emotional thing, typically. Anyway, but in the case of atheism, the bottom line is I think there's an animus against God or the people of God, which is often unconscious or subconscious, but I think it comes out in their zeal to get other people to think the way they do.
Now, I don't know if you answered this next question, but did you come across atheists who actually lived out their faith? Did you find
anybody? Yes. That's a big part of the argument in the book is that those handful of atheists – now, none of the new atheists. The new atheists I put in a totally different category. They're tremendously dishonest. I was very grieved at how – ultimately, they came across to me once I looked into them. They don't take responsibility for what they say. But those people who took atheism seriously, I put Woody Allen in that category. I put Jean-Paul Sartre in that category. I put Dylan Thomas, the poet, in that category. I put Ingmar Bergman in that category, the filmmaker. I put Albert Camus in that category, Anthony Flew. I write about them in the book, and they – understood that if atheism is real, if there is no God, you're staring into a bleak abyss. You're not happy about it the way Christopher Hitchens and Richard Dawkins seem to be, which is what proves that they're just silly. If you're serious about this idea, you, like these people, you'll have a hard time. You'll understand. I mean, Sartre said atheism is a long, hard, cruel business because you're struggling with this idea that life has no meaning, but you're trying to find meaning within the meaninglessness. Ultimately, all of these who looked into the bleak abyss said, this can't work, it won't work, and they came out the other side into faith. Camus, I talk about in the book, Jean-Paul Sartre. Now, Dylan Thomas, the poet, and Ingmar Bergman, and I mentioned Woody Allen, when they're very thoughtful, you can see that they are struggling. They're not happy. They struggle. So even though they don't come out believing in the way that Sartre and Camus and Anthony Flew do, they nonetheless, you can see them dealing with this honestly. So the idea of actually being able to live out your faith that there is no God, I don't think it's possible. So the most honest people are the ones who struggled the hardest to do it, and I mention them.
Okay, what was the favorite part of the book to write and why?
I think the last third. I mean, honestly, I know I'm a broken record, but I'm more excited about this book than I've ever been about any book because there's stuff in here that I think it's going to shock people, like information that they're going to say, where in the world have I been that I missed this? And that's how I felt when I discovered it. But the most fun part to write, the last third of the book, and I actually tell people, you may want to read the last third of the book first, because these are essays on atheism where I take Hitchens and Dawkins in particular to task. Mm. Because they've gotten away with murder. They have gotten away with the murder of God, whom you can't kill, but they don't know that. And those, I think, some of it is funny, some of it is entertaining. I mean, I really had some fun with it. So those chapters were the most fun to write, okay, for sure.
How can Christians make an impact against the soul of atheism, your strategies?
I don't know what this the questioner means about the soul of atheism. So I will say my strategies are, you'll get it if you read the book. I can't really say more than that.
Okay. Why do you think that atheism is so popular today?
Well, atheism kind of, you know, didn't seriously exist until what, the 17th century? I mean, it's something that if you are looking for utopia, you're looking to solve the world's problems, but there are things about faith that rub you the wrong way, you really have to tack hard in the other direction. And I think that people have bought the idea, and again, I deal with this. This is the heart of the book, is this idea that rationality or science is not at odds with faith, that is a deep lie in our culture. And so the idea that people have bought into is that faith is all hocus pocus. I want to believe in reason and rationality. And so they really believe that you can be an intellectually fulfilled atheist. I am convinced you absolutely cannot. So atheism is popular because of this misconception. And if we can disabuse people of this profound misconception, which I think we can if they're open-minded, it will not be popular.
Okay, this is a great question. What would you say to a person who became an atheist after growing up in a Christian home?
Well, I mean, I think that's common. It's the same kind of thing, right? People aren't – they don't feel like they have choices. They just know they don't like some kind of religious, maybe fundamentalist upbringing. There's something about it they didn't like or some parts about it they didn't like. And they feel that they've just got to say, okay, I don't really believe God exists. But I want to challenge those folks. I think – based on the evidence we have from science, and again, we couldn't have said this 50 or 40 years ago, but we have such overwhelming evidence at this point that I think if you dare to look at what faith really is and dare to look at how atheism cannot work, you're stuck. Maybe you can be an agnostic, but you cannot be an atheist. And I think I effectively prove that in the book. But I hope people will kind of read it and wrestle with
it. Okay, I want to jump ahead to the last question. How do you feel about being the number one best-selling book in the atheism category on Amazon?
I am number one in atheism?
Yes.
Get out.
Out.
I'd like to lower that number to 0.01, and then I'll be really happy. I'm not satisfied. I'll leave it there.
Okay, more people have to order the book so you can be 0.0.
0.01 on Amazon. Please go to ericmetaxas.com. Thank you.
Pleasing you can hurt you somehow.
Hey, folks, my friend Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to our listeners. That's you. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the Radio Listener Specials. Get deep discounts on MyPillow's mattress toppers. Wow. Towels and so much more. For example, Mike's offering a buy one, get one free offer on Giza sheets. All MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials for the buy one, get one free offer on Giza sheets. Enter promo code ERIC. Have I ever mentioned that? ERIC is the promo code, or call 1-800-978-3057. And folks, we joke around a lot, but Albin and I rave about the mattress toppers. I tell everyone I know, check it out. MyPillow.com, use the promo code ERIC. MyPillow.com, use the promo code ERIC. Hey folks, you wish you remembered names better and thought more clearly? Improve your memory with VivaLore Memory Support. VivaLore's founder prayed that God would show her the solution to memory loss when her mother had dementia. Divine encounters, faith, and her background as a pharmacist led Susan Gibson to create VivaLore Memory Support. VivaLore is a premium quality all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. It's won numerous awards and has 3 books independently written about it. Visit VivaLore.com for testimonials about the life-changing improvements people have experienced. VivaLore is for those with normal memory, mild, or severe memory loss. Do not wait till your memory slips. The pathology starts 20 years before your first memory loss symptom. VivaLore is V-I-V-O-L-O-R. Go to VivaLore.com, buy 3, and get 40% off automatically applied. That's 40% off if you order 3. The makers pray that God's healing presence rests on every pill. VivaLore.com, V-I-V-O-L-O-R.com. Check it out.
Folks, we just did Ask Metaxas, and I thought, you know, for a little variety, a little chiaroscuro, I thought, what about Ask Zmirak? Could we get John Zmirak? It's not easy to get him. He's retired now. He writes 5 essays for the stream, and he takes care of beagles. But maybe we can coax him out of retirement. And by the grace of God, we did. John Zmirak, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Eric. And as you can see around me, this is what our current regime calls a retirement facility.
It's an extraordinary thing to be ruled by fascist Marxists. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I think that believing in Satan and hating freedom and God, yeah, you know, that's an option in a free country. But wait, we're not a free country. Now I'm confused. Okay, so tell me, my friend, what shall we talk about first?
Well, I think one of the primary Christian duties at the moment, and it just happens to be one that I also personally enjoy, is to mock the priests of Baal. That is one of my favorite passages from the whole Bible, is where the priests of Baal have said that their gods will make the sacrifice come, will make fire come down from the heavens and set the sacrifices on fire. And they want to test their God against the God of the Israelites. And Elijah says, yes, absolutely. I'm all for empirical experiment. So they set up the various sacrifices, and the priests of Baal call on Baal, and nothing happens. And they cut themselves, and they writhe, and they scream, and nothing happens. And Elijah says, wow, maybe your God's resting. Maybe he's off on vacation. Maybe he never existed in the first place. And then his sacrifice of the real God is consumed, and the people rise up and kill the priests of Baal. This is my model for Christian engagement in America today. We must mock the priests of Baal.
Now, wait, before you go into this, you left out my favorite part, okay. unless I just missed it. I mean, here you have the priests of Baal or Baal, who are, in case anybody doesn't believe the occult is real. I mean, if you talk to Satanists or you talk to people in the occult, this stuff is real. Horrible, weird stuff happens. Now, God is also real. But here you have Elijah mocking them and saying, hey, where's your God, as you just said. But my favorite line is, he says, like, is he in the bathroom? Is he taking a whiz? Is he pooping? I mean, that's in the scripture. I never know what translation, every translation is different, but it's very clear that he's saying, is he in the crapper? Named after Thomas Crapper, who invented the flush toilet, of course. But that's the question that Bale asks. So when people get upset, if Christians like you or me sometimes get sarcastic, they obviously are unfamiliar with one of the greatest heroes of the faith in the scripture, who used sarcasm and mockery. And I know that's part of your point, but I just wanted to say it rose to the level of him saying, where are your gods? Yeah. Are they, you know, indisposed would be the very polite way of putting it. And who cares?
Well, what we're facing today in the woke religion, which is trying to replace Christianity, is a full-on false religion that comes from the pit of hell. And if you don't believe that, think about this. What offended God the most about the Canaanite fertility religions, such as the cult of Baal, was that they engaged in child sacrifice. They would sacrifice their firstborn in order to ensure prosperity and a comfortable life.
Now, John, sacrifice is a really sweet word. Don't you mean murder?
Yes, they would murder their firstborn children. If you think about abortion in America, this is a point the great Archbishop Vigano, is this Italian bishop who's in trouble with the Vatican for being Catholic. He pointed out that most children who are aborted are the first children that the woman conceives, you know? And insofar as our society is killing the firstborn, and insofar as the Temple of Satan has officially said that abortion is a satanic sacrifice and has tried to get it protected from legal attack, in, for instance, in Texas, by saying that it's their religious liberty to sacrifice the firstborn, I think we can start to see the Baal element in our current society.
They should put religious liberty like murdering Jews also, or Black people, because they have every right under religious liberty to murder whomever they like. It's a sweet thing about religious liberty in America that you can murder. Or am I misreading the law?
Yeah. Again, our wonderful founding documents and founding philosophy have been completely hijacked and perverted by people who reject the concepts of natural law. The idea that all rights come from God and all rights can be discerned by rational people thinking, speaking logically, by reflecting on the existence of one God and ourselves and our human nature as reflections, as images of that God. That's the religious liberty our founders had in mind. And the Temple of Satan is just being perverse, they think. They're being witty, they think, by claiming that human sacrifice is part of their religious liberty. But what they are in fact doing is waking Americans up. If the Temple of Satan endorsing abortion as a satanic sacrifice of the firstborn, if that doesn't tell you there's something deeply wrong in America, and the fact that that argument is being entertained seriously in federal courts and will probably be presented to the U.S. Supreme Court, and if the Supreme Court rules in favor of keeping abortion legal, maybe they will be the defendant. So it will be Satanic Temple v. Texas, and it would be great if the abortion precedent that sat on the books for the next 30 years was Satanic Temple v. Texas.
Listen, the part of the problem of seeing into the future, whether one sees it prophetically in a mystical sense or simply by having the prescience that comes with connecting dots and trends, it's a disturbing thing. I think it's much more fun to live in a world where you think people like John Zmierich and Eric Metaxas are just a little crazy and don't take them too seriously. The problem, folks, is that every day that passes, these terrible things become more explicit. Yeah. What we're seeing right now in America is very dramatic. I mean, take, for example, the idea that we're being... people are trying to force us to take vaccines, and they say, oh, your objection that it involved murdering children in the womb, that's meaningless. You just need to shut up and take the vaccine. In the America of the past, that could not have happened. How right. have we come to a place where abortion has been so normalized that we don't even talk about it when it ought to be front and center with the vaccine. In other words, even if the vaccine were dramatically effective, which it's not, even if COVID were dramatically dangerous, which it's not, we still would be talking about, in a normal world, about this abortion issue. The idea that the vaccine is questionable on every level and also involved this grotesque human sacrifice, and that no one's talking about that, it's all the more reason important that folks like John and me and others bring it up every single day and say, we're not making this up. This is true. We need to deal with it.
And the sacrifice is ongoing. I mean, the fact is, yes, the child, Johanna, who was aborted and whose kidney was taken out of her body while she was, her heart was still beating. So she was essentially vivisected. That happened in 1972, and they cloned her cells, and it was those cells that they used to make or test all of the vaccines. But this is not some ancient crime like slavery. To this day, this is happening. Francis Collins, head of the NIH, signed off on funding experiments at the University of Pittsburgh, which happened last year, cutting children open while they're still alive and their hearts are beating to take out their kidneys and livers to harvest them to make vaccines. It's still happening. The concentration camps, if you will, of our Holocaust.
Okay, but the reason it's so dark is that Francis Collins is an openly evangelical Christian. I mention him as one of the famous scientists in my new book. I think he's the last one I mention. So to think that someone like that, who knows Jesus, would be willing to put these things aside. Folks, we are living in bizarre times. We need to help each other to see clearly what is happening, to speak out against these things, whether they're spoken by people we once respected or people we know are in everything for themselves. It doesn't matter. We've got to speak up. We'll be right back. We're talking to John Smirak. Don't forget, please go to our website, ericmetaxas.com. Sign up for my newsletter. We're sending out more and more interesting things that we don't have time to get to on this program. Please do that. ericmetaxas.com.
Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to that Perry Como of Texas, that mellow dude, John Smirak. John, what should we talk about now?
Thanks, Eric. You know, I'm all about go along to get along. That's just my way. You know, I just want to be liked, and I want to get along with everybody.
I hear you, bro. Life is too short. Who needs to fight battles when you can groove on the rubble?
That's right. Life's too short, and so am I, I've always said. And then I get in a fight. So our churches are being taken over by this woke religion. The media, social media, universities, the law, the military. We are being coordinated and being politically corrected and being regulated in the same way that Nazi universities were after Hitler took over Germany. The word for it was Gleichschaltung.
I can't believe you're saying this. I'm not kidding. In my Bonhoeffer book, I remember writing about this, And in the last few years, I've said, this is exactly what is happening here. It doesn't it sound crazy? We're talking about Germany under Hitler, and that is happening here. The universities, the professions, the media, everybody's in on it. And it just falls to a few crazy people like us to point it out. So I just want to say, folks, it's real. This is not John, you know, exaggerating.
I wish I were exaggerating. So in my piece at stream.org that I hope people will check out, I make a reference to the movie Airplane. I don't know if you remember the scene in Airplane where the actress who played June Cleaver.
Barbara Billingsley.
That's right. There are two Black people arguing in a very strong ethnic, sort of ethnic dialect. And the stewardess is trying to find out what they need because one of them's having a medical condition. And June Cleaver says, oh, excuse me, stewardess, I speak jive. And then she lapses into this exaggerated urban dialect and interacts with them. And it's hilarious. Well, I decided to provide a translator for ordinary people who don't speak the new woke language of the religion of the priests of Baal that are being imposed on your kids and in college, but increasingly in grammar school through critical race theory and other sort of camel's nose under the tent forms of totalitarianism. So I've got a little glossary here, and I'll just go through some of the terms. So
before you do that, everybody knows that if you're listening to this program, you have a standing homework assignment. You go to stream.org, you print out John's articles, you leave them around the food court, or on the island in your kitchen at home. So, John, please go ahead.
All right, thanks. So when you hear the word justice, here's what it really means nowadays. Retribution, payback, pain inflicted on members of one group on behalf of another group, that group whose ancestors or distant cousins might have suffered pain at the hands of the members of the first group, their distant cousins or their ancestors. That is justice.
So justice means revenge.
Revenge on behalf of your great-grandparents.
Right.
Equity. Instead of strict justice for individuals, rendering each person his due, equity is a blanket assumption that different outcomes for aggregates of individuals of a given racial group must be the result of a wicked conspiracy. So, like, the fact that there are so many Orthodox Jewish diamond dealers on 47th Street in Manhattan is clearly a Zionist conspiracy that the government must rectify.
Obviously.
Conspiracy must be denounced. Its outcomes must be reversed using the punitive force of the government, public shaming, and corporate power like Facebook and Apple. Okay, next word, marginalized. You hear about marginalized groups, right? That's any group that was less powerful or popular in the past than it is right now. And now it can use its newfound leverage to make escalating, unlimited demands of groups that currently happen to be less powerful than they used to be. So Muslim immigrants, a lot more powerful and popular than they were 30 years ago, they get to avenge themselves on second-generation Irish immigrants who happen to live in the same neighborhood.
They get to run for Congress and marry their siblings, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing. And if you condemn, if you criticize that, if you ask questions, you are unleashing demons of racism. All right, the next word, diversity. We hear that word constantly, right? Diversity means uniformity of social and political views, absolute lockstep uniformity in strict accordance with woke religious orthodoxy. Okay, so everybody thinks alike, but you make it more visually interesting by including token racial and sexual minorities, radicalized members of non-Christian religions, and of course, the morbidly obese. You have to have them in there too. And really, people in really unconvincing drag. That's diversity. People who all look different and all talk exactly the same. Another word, ally. This is a key one. An ally is a current or aspiring member of the oligarchy that runs our society. The 1% who are mostly white and male. So you don't have the sexual or ethnic credentials to escape punitive equity, but you can buy indulgence indulgences for the sins your ancestors committed from the Church of Woke.
For example,
its power.
Jack Dorsey, the ultra white head of Twitter, he can hang out on Jay-Z's yacht.
Right. Because he pays for the privilege.
And because he pays for the privilege, and he's down, man. Like that beard that he has and stuff, he just wants to show, hey, I'm not with the man, even though I'm worth billions. I'm down. I'm cool. I'm with you people.
And I can prove that by punishing unemployed white coal miners in West Virginia.
Isn't that sweet? What a great country. We're going to be right back. We're talking to John Smirak. Folks, why would you even think about going away? Get going, get a rhythm.
Hey, folks, Eric Metaxas here. Joe Biden and the Democrats have laid out the most socialist agenda our country has ever seen. Instead of following President Trump's blueprint that had the economy booming, the Dems are going to raise taxes, increase regulations, and skyrocket an already outrageous national debt. If your retirement is in traditional investments, it is in jeopardy. Americans should be diversifying their investments with gold and precious metals. Gold gives you control over your wealth and protects you from market volatility, inflation, and a weakening dollar. When investing in gold, I turn to Legacy Precious Metals. Legacy Precious Metals has over 40 years of experience in helping Americans protect their finances, and this team is prepared to patiently consider your own personal financial needs. If you're looking to invest in gold, call the good folks at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-473-6204 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Don't leave your retirement to chance, friends. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. That's 866-473-6204.
Hey, folks, I'm talking to John Smirak. Remember him? Hey, John, you wrote something about practical atheism. It's at stream.org. People, you need to go to stream.org. Hurry up. Before the printer runs out of toner, print this stuff out by John Smirak. Distribute it. At least among the children that you love. John, what do you write about? What is this term, practical atheism?
Well, I've been thinking about your new book. I just got my physical copy yesterday, and I had already read it in the electronic form. So I took the physical copy and gave it to my girlfriend. That's her assignment, to read that in the next few days. And I've been thinking about the implications of, is atheism dead or is it dying? And in what form and how does it still bedevil us? And in your book, I think you do a fantastic job of disposing of the open, systematic, bold atheists, the people like Christopher Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens,
Richard Dawkins, yeah.
Who are out and proud. And they want to shove the atheism in your face, including all its implications. So they'll say, there is no such thing as the mind. It's just a side effect of chemicals shooting in the meat organ that is your brain. There is no such thing as consciousness. When you die, you have no future. Our ancestors are gone. There is no afterlife. There's a certain kind of person who kind of gets excited and feels courageous for drawing all those conclusions. But there's and you tear those conclusions apart in your book, Is Atheism Dead? What I'm concerned about is another group of people who don't take all those steps. They don't say there is no God and therefore there is no afterlife and there is no morality. No, they don't have the intestinal fortitude for that. You don't hear Joe Biden saying that. You don't hear Nancy Pelosi saying that. They all say they're Christians. They claim to be devout Catholics. Pope Francis claims to be a devout Catholic, for God's sake. What these people do instead is they take Christianity as a purely theoretical construct. Yes, we all love Christianity. And they redefine it to mean something utterly unlike what Jesus Christ preached in Israel to the apostle.
Point of historical context, this is exactly what Hitler and the Nazis did, just in case you want to know. Go ahead, John.
Right, to leave something formally in place and empty it of its substance. The communists decided they were going to wipe out Christianity openly. They killed 20,000 Orthodox priests and nuns in 1 year in the 1920s. What the Nazis did instead, they said, no, we're going to, that's too upsetting. That's too disruptive. The Germans won't put up with that. Let's leave religion in place and hollow it out of all its Christian substance and fill it with our politicized replacement material that supports the regime. So instead of people thinking about the kingdom of God, let them think about the German race. People can still be self-sacrificial, but instead of doing it on behalf of the poor, they do it on behalf of the master race. We can still talk about providence, but what we mean by God's providence is actually the ruthless working out of Darwinian competition and the survival of the fittest. And it was a kind of a brilliant, diabolical replacement of Christianity, like the invasion of the body snatchers. What we see today, when you hear preachers talking about critical race theory or equity or the 1619 Project or systemic racism, they are entirely hollowing out Christianity of all its original substance and replacing it with radical socialism and angry racial resentment, just the way the Reverend Jim Jones did. The Reverend Jim Jones, everybody remembers that compound in Guyana where he told people to commit suicide and gave out poison Kool-Aid. What they don't remember is he was a radical leftist socialist. He was a big ally of the Pelosi family, of Willie Brown. Kamala Harris's political mentor was close friends with Jim Jones. Harvey Milk, the great champion of gay rights in San Francisco, was best friends with Jim Jones. Jim Jones was a liberation theologian who said that the real essence of Christianity was redistribution of wealth, seizure of power by the government on behalf of the poor, and redistribution of power and persecution of the former oppressors, which is to say whites, males, Christians. And the reason he had his followers commit suicide is that their cult compound was falling apart, because utopian socialism never works. And the compound was falling apart, and rather than have it just dissolve and let the people escape into freedom, he got them to all kill themselves. These are the kind of people taking over our churches and, I think, running America at the moment. People, utopian crackpot ideology, and they'd rather see destruction than admit that they failed.
That is a fact. That's an absolute fact. I've been talking about this, and obviously in my new book, Is Atheism Dead?, I get at the roots of some of these things, because folks, you know, we're living in crazy times. We've got to get serious. We've got to get really serious about what is happening. We need to be activated. I was at an event I mentioned earlier last couple of nights with Charlie Kirk here in Phoenix, and then last night in California. There are people waking up to this, and they are, and it's not going to go away. But before we go to this break, John, I didn't even tell you this. My publisher for the book, Is Atheism Dead?, seems not to have published enough in the first printing. There are huge, like, COVID, you know, issues with getting paper shipped and all this kind of stuff. So I want to say to people, no joke, if you want to copy the book before Christmas, buy it this week. I'm not joking. This is not hyperbole. I've been telling people to buy it this week anyway, because it's important. But because of this, because of what I just heard this morning, it's disturbing, but I think they're running out of copies, or they're going to run out of copies. So if you want a copy on paper, order it this week, whether at my website, ericmetaxas.com, or anywhere else. But I'm not kidding. I can tell you more about that as I learn more. It's not good news when you've just written a book and they're running out of copies. So I'm just telling you, if you want a copy, please jump. We'll be right back talking to John Smirak. If not for you, we'll be right back. Folks, I am talking to John Zmirak. Are you upset? Are you depressed? Don't be, because John Zmirak is alive and well, and we get to talk to him. John, my friend, you have your ear to the ground on what is happening in this strange world. What just happened, this murder of this parliamentarian, please share that with us, because some folks do not know about this.
Yeah, this is something that's really, really upsetting everyone in Great Britain and shocked and appalled people. But I don't know if they're going to do the right things about it. This beloved member of parliament of the governing Conservative Party, David Ames, he was a prominent Catholic and pro-life, conservative, solid, good man, looked out for the working class, was universally beloved, was meeting with his constituents. They do that periodically in Britain, where they just go to a church hall and any member of their constituency can come up and talk to them. Imagine our congressman doing something like that. Well, Ali Harbi Ali, who was the son of a member of the Somali government being sort of a contradiction in terms. Ali Harbi Ali, age 25, who's been living in Britain, had made an appointment, comes in and stabs the member of parliament 17 times. And the parliamentarian, David Ames, dies on the spot.
It's a good thing they have gun control in England, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, knife crime has replaced gun crime.
This is so horrifying, John. I mean, is there a reason that this Somali immigrant murdered a member of parliament? In other words, what is the backstory? It's horrifying.
He was a radicalized Muslim, one of tens of thousands of radicalized Muslims in Britain. And it's impossible to keep track of them. There are just too many of them. And also, if you try to send people to spy on the mosques, the Muslims in Britain, of whom there are now millions, they protest and they riot and they have members of parliament in their pocket. Why does Great Britain have tens of thousands of radicalized Muslims? Why are they there? Why did they bring them into the country? Why do we have an entire congressional district of Somalis in Minnesota? That doesn't happen naturally. That was social engineering. On behalf of the Bush and Obama administration, they both colluded to bring millions of Somali Muslims, to fly them over 10 different Sunni Muslim countries where they could have found refuge if they were really refugees, fly them over all of Africa, past Spain, and put them in Minnesota and Maine. Rural Maine, which already was suffering from jobs being outsourced, it was already part of the Rust Belt, suddenly flooded with desert.
Why would they do this? Can you explain why?
Oh, desert tribesmen in Maine. That's a perfect fit, right? Why do that? Well, because the Bush administration, as well as the Obama administration, said that those two states lacked a vital resource, diversity. They weren't diverse enough.
This is called social engineering. This is called big government. This is sickening.
It's multiculturalism.
And it doesn't work.
It's multicultural.
It results in things like politicians being murdered with knives. I have to tell you, this is amazing.
It is anti-white hatred. White people in America are being talked about and treated the way the Tutsis were talked about in Rwanda before the Hutus committed the genocide.
We've got to go to a break. Actually, we're at the end of the program. John, my dear friend, thank you. Folks, go to stream.org. And I'm not kidding. If you want a paper copy of my new book, please order it this week. Supply chain problems are grievous and real. I just heard about it this morning. I will keep you updated. Thanks for tuning in.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.